There's lots of great things about growing up in a Chinese culture. You get to watch kung fu movies when you're a kid. You learn another language and you age pretty well. But one thing I love more than all of those are Chinese banquets. They only come around every now and then, but when they do come, you get really excited. You mark the date out in your calendar and your RSVP. You exercise leading up to it, so you have a faster metabolism. And then on the big day, you eat a little bit, but not too much, so you have maximum capacity in your stomach. So if you're a Chinese banquet lover as well, you know what I mean. But not all Chinese banquets are the same. The choices are endless. Some have 7 courses, some have 10. Some have lobster, some have crab. Some have roast pork and jellyfish, which is my favourite. There's a banquet of banquets to choose from. But not all are the same. So what's your favourite part of a Chinese banquet? What would be your perfect choice? As much as I love Chinese banquets, the taste only lasts a little while and then it's gone. If I get my favourite dish or not, it doesn't really matter. I'll eat and I'll digest and then I'll forget. The choice in the end doesn't matter. But there are some choices in life that really, really matter. And that's what this passage today is about. The Bible tells us there's many gospels out there, like there's many Chinese banquets. But not all gospels are the same. And your choice when it comes to gospels really matters. Because only one gospel leads to life. Every other gospel leads to death. When you're young, the idea of death is a bit distant and you can't really imagine it. It happens in movies to the bad guys and it happens in war-torn countries. But we here are neither of those. As you grow older, the idea of death becomes more and more real. And we actually see death come into our life over and over again. When I was 4, I had my first encounter with death. My grandmother died and I remember praying that she would come back to life. But she never did because death is final. Many years later, my dad also died, who many of you knew. And after this service, we're actually going through a ceremony for Qingming, where we remember all the members of this church that have died. And it's going to be a sad time for many people because death is very real. I'm not saying we should sit around and think about death all day, but death is final and certain, so we need to give it its appropriate thought. Death will come to everyone. But this passage promises to give us life despite of death. Your choice of banquet doesn't matter, but your choice of gospel is life and death. But the whole world is filled with a ton of gospels. They all tell us they'll give us life, but if the Bible is true and there's only one gospel that gives life, then it's important for you to know which one. So here's the gospel in 2 parts. The first part, verses 3-4, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture and that he was buried. Sin is rebellion against God. That normally shows itself in hatred towards God or hatred towards each other. We might not murder or steal, but when someone treats us badly, we hate. And when we see someone else with something we want, we envy. It's a problem with everyone's hearts, my heart and your heart. And there's a punishment for sin. But the punishment isn't good works. It's not turning up to church on Sunday. The punishment is death. Sin is why death comes to everyone. If you want to pay for your own sins, then you have to die and you have to remain dead. If you've ever had like a loan or a mortgage, you know what a debt is. It hangs over your head and the bank will collect it. We've all sinned and we have a debt of death. We must pay and God will collect. The first part of the good news is that even though we could do nothing about it except die, God was able to do something about it. And he loved us enough to die for our sins. I don't know if you've ever seen a dead body. As I mentioned, my dad passed away a couple of years ago, and his is the only dead body I've ever seen. It's pretty unusual to see a real dead body, because with life, there's a lot of little movements around. There's skin moving and muscles twitching and smiles, but with death, everything's still. There's no breathing, there's no smiles, it's just cold. It's a humbling thing because when I was growing up, I thought that my dad was the fastest and strongest and smartest man in the world, but suddenly he was cold and still. Jesus Christ, who gave life to everyone else, went from being God to being dead. Jesus died and was buried for our sins, and that's the first part of the gospel. But the second part is just as important. Verses 4-11, he was raised on the third day. He came alive and there were many witnesses. He appeared to Peter and the disciples and to 500 people at once. This is probably the most wild claim of the gospel. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you probably find this maybe a bit hard to believe. Our culture will tell us that this claim is unbelievable and it's impossible. Dead people don't come back to life, so Christ doesn't come back to life. None of our loved ones have come back to life, so Christ doesn't come back to life. It can seem very right, so right that we want to cut it out of our gospel. And that's what some of the Corinthians did. In verse 12, some of them said that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if the Corinthians and the world are right, then verses 12 to 19 is the result. If the gospel finishes with a dead saviour, one who doesn't breathe and is cold, it means we believe in vain. Paul preached in vain, I preach in vain, and you sit there in vain, because sin hasn't been dealt with. If the payment for sin is death, and Jesus died for our sin, but he's still dead, then his death wasn't enough. His death couldn't pay our debt, and we still owe, and God will collect. If the body of Jesus is cold in some tomb somewhere, then verse 19, we only have hope for this life. The gospel of the dead Jesus makes us feel better, but it doesn't actually give us life. We should be pitied above all men. A homeless child or an abused wife or a hungry dog, when they see us sitting here today, they should feel sorry for us, because we're hoping a dead body will give us life. But the good news, the real gospel, is that there is no dead body. 2,000 years ago, the Roman government couldn't produce Jesus' body to stop the growth of the church. Today, there's no shrine for us to visit to see Jesus' bones, because he is risen and he's alive today. That's the good news. Christ died for our sins and was buried and was raised again. That means that the debt for sin, which is death, has been fully taken care of. And so since the debt of death has been paid, there was no more debt and Jesus could rise again. Sin and death are no longer a problem. So there was a time when he was truly dead, when he was still and cold, but he's alive again, a living, breathing saviour. The only gospel that leads to life is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. But today we don't only celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead, but that we will be risen too, just like Jesus. Verses 20 to 23, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus is the first of many. Just like Jesus, we will die and we will be cold. But just like Jesus, we will rise again to life. But only, back to verse 2, if we hold to this gospel. Not all Chinese banquets are the same, but that doesn't matter. Not all gospels are the same, and that truly matters. Only one gospel leads to life and every other one leads to death. The last time I saw my dad, he was cold and lifeless on a bed. I touched his hand and he didn't respond. I spoke into his ear and he didn't speak back. But my dad will rise again, just like Jesus, because he held to this gospel. I'll see my dad again and he won't be cold and breathless. And he won't be buried under the ground. He'll be alive and he'll have new life because Jesus died and was risen again. And I will see my grandmother as well. For you and your loved ones, you will live even though you die. No doubt if you hold on to this gospel. What does holding on to the gospel mean? It means giving your allegiance to God and calling him your God and no one else. You don't have to do any work. Jesus has done the work. You just hold on to this gospel and no other gospel. Some of the Corinthian church held on to another gospel for life. Maybe because it sounded more appealing or more logical. Today we have so many gospels to choose from, and they all seem better than the real gospel. What seems appealing for me is the gospel of Netflix. When I'm tired or run down, I think I just need a break. What will give me life is if I sit in bed, eat junk food, and watch Netflix. And it kind of does. It gives me a bit more energy and I have a bit of fun. But the gospel of Netflix gives me a little life, but it ends in death. Maybe you're tempted to hold on to another gospel. Maybe for you it's the gospel of youthfulness. You're aging, and so is everyone else. But if you moisturise and exercise, if you eat well and dye your hair, you'll have life. You'll look young. You'll live longer. But how long? 80 years? 100? The gospel of youthfulness ends with death. Maybe the gospel of family is where you go. What will give you life is a good wife or a good girlfriend, a good husband or good kids. And family gatherings will be really warm and filled. Your family will take care of you when you're sick. But this is maybe the saddest gospel of all. Because when families fall apart and when children die before you do, it's almost unbearable. The gospel of family is enticing, but it ends in death as well. Whatever your gospel is, whatever you run to, the gospel of money or of education, Netflix or youth or family, have you ever found the gospel that gives you life for more than a moment? These things are all good and they're all given from God, and you should enjoy and be thankful for them if you do get to have them. But they don't really give life. They look like they give life, but they end in death. This gospel that I've told you today, if you're a Christian, you might have heard it 1,000 times. And that's good, but be on your guard. Because naturally, we won't want to hold on to this gospel. Because it sounds unwise. According to the world, it's impossible. But only if we continue to hold on to this gospel will we have life even after death. You might never have heard this gospel before. Then hold on to this gospel for the first time. And don't let go of it until your dying day. This is the only gospel that will give you life. Not all gospels are the same. The gospel of Jesus Christ died for our sins and risen to life again is the message of Easter.